Welcome to Building Justice, a podcast by Sacramento State Center on Race, Immigration, and Social Justice, also known as CRISJ. We explore critical issues affecting our communities with hopes of creating a healthier and more just world. In this episode, you will hear about incarceration, education, and reentry. Through the 30-year journey of Moon Martinez, currently a third-year sociology student at Sac State.
Currently under construction to function, justice for the human family we demanded. Justice, truth, freedom, equality's a must. Us decolonization of the planet, so bust this. People be the power, now we build the justice. Pouring ancestral divinations, how we build the justice. Welcome the planet to the podcast, build the justice. Build the justice, build the justice, build. Is to add on or do away with justice.
What is your opinion on the state of incarceration right now in California? How do you see that the narrative is going?
So I really feel like things have changed in a way that I would not have imagined would be possible. I realize there's still a lot more to be done, but when I first moved back to California in 2007, after having been in England for 10 years and took the job at Fresno State, if someone had told me then that in 2019, I would get a phone call from the Director of Rehabilitative Programming at CDCR.
Dr. Cho?
Yes, and Dr. Brant Choate, saying, would Fresno State like to offer a bachelor's degree completion program in the two prisons in Chowchilla? I would not have believed it to be possible. Yes. So when I see the change between 2007 and getting that phone call in 2019, that just to me speaks volumes about the change in culture, and particularly amongst leadership at headquarters in terms of wanting to bring more opportunities into the prisons.
Yes, I was one of the first students. I was her student in this new endeavor that the education, the rehabilitation part of the system was going. And we have to mention that, you know, Governor Jerry Brown, he started this, and then Governor Gavin Newsom also took the reins and pushed this, you know, and it was very, very surreal, because you remember the pilot program where he set aside its own budget to, you know, let this go forward. So it was a big change. And like Professor said, man, is that it needs to continue and to be watered and cultivated, because there is a lot of really good minds in there that can benefit from this. As we all know, that higher education does something to a person, that they believe in themselves, for one, and a lot of us had potential that got, you know, stunted because of our criminality and addictions, you know. But for people that have been in prison for a very long time and who still cling to hope, you know, they want to take part of something that's given them a validation, you know. And so I really enjoyed being a part of that, man.
And that first semester that Fresno State was teaching in Valley State Prison was fantastic. I mean, we were really in the middle of the pandemic at that point. Yes. It was spring 2021 when we started that course. And so because of the COVID restrictions, I wasn't able to go in the prison in person, but we were able to set it up via Zoom. And yes, the students had to be in two different classrooms because, again, there was concern about mixing people from different housing units. And so two different classrooms, all connected by the video cameras and the Zoom call. I'm at home in my kitchen on the Zoom call, and students in the two different rooms. And what was great about it was, even though we weren't in the same space together, even though it was via Zoom, we were able to have really fantastic conversations, so much discussion. It was, of course, CRIM 120, juvenile delinquency. And, you know, obviously a lot of people in the class had a lot of very personal, insightful things to share, but also were bringing a real commitment as a student to the class, you know, so dedicated to doing the coursework and the reading. I remember in one of the first classes, a student pointing out a mistake in the textbook.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
I've never had a student point out a mistake in the textbook before. And it was a really egregious mistake. And I felt bad that I had just glossed over it when I had read that part of the chapter and I hadn't spotted it. And the student points it out, and, this is a really bad mistake. And so I ended up forwarding a letter from the student to the author of the book and pointing that out. But it was that kind of engaging interaction we were all able to have together. And, you know, for me, it was definitely one of the best teaching experiences I've ever had, and a great learning experience for me too, because I am learning constantly from all of the students. And so it's really enriching and rewarding.
I'm Dr. Marie Molari, Professor of Ethnic Studies, your host with Moon Martinez, third year student at Sac State University.
Good evening, Moon. How are you?
I'm doing well, Prof.
Okay, so here we are finally talking about the topic of incarceration reentry. And as you and I have talked in the past, this story is about your story. And I'd like to hear from you, right? How your experience from then to now and present. Okay, so take it away.
Okay. Well, beginning with incarceration, you know, I served 30 years on a life sentence for murder. And first off, I wanna say this, is that I couldn't imagine the effect that it had on my victims' family members. So being that said, you know, it was an experience to go into a system that was completely devoid of rehabilitation opportunities. Because when I went into the prison system, Governor Pete Wilson was at the helm. And Governor Pete Wilson was a total, very conservative Republican, where he publicly made the statement, if you take a life, you're going to spend the rest of your life in prison. And that was contrary to the written law. Well, as a convicted murderer, you're either going to get convicted of first degree or second degree, and there is a whole bar opportunity for you to parole, but not under his watch. Anyway, so getting into the system, there was absolutely nothing that was available as we know it today. So, you know, I went into the system and adjusted to the system and became part of it. But throughout the years, I decided to make a choice for myself. And that choice was to better myself, not for anything else except for me. And I was there, and I did it whatever opportunity presented itself. You know, I got a hold of it and I studied it. And maybe 20 years into the process of being in prison, you know, college programs were available. And, you know, I took a class. Mm-hmm. But when that started, there was the financial crash in the United States. And I think it was kind of worldwide because it affected worldwide people. Anyway, so a lot of programs got cut. And usually when they start cutting things, you know, things that are available to prisoners are the first ones to go. So that ended my pursuit of higher education for a while.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Then what did you do instead?
But during that process, you know, I still, you know, availed myself to vocational trainings. You know, I'm a certified modern automotive diagnostic tech. You know, I'm a certified fiber optic tech installer. I'm a partial certified electrical, but I went and did this. You know, I pursued this on my own. You know, nobody forced me. And one of the things that I got my GED while I was in there. And throughout the years,
college reappeared. And by the luck, you know, I got a full scholarship. And I majored in sociology. So I achieved my goal of getting my ADT degree. That's an associate degree for transfer to the universities. But in that process, I involved myself with the recovery and rehabilitation where...
What was the process?
You know, I had to deconstruct what caused me to be this criminal drug addict. So I had to get into some very hurtful things in my life. And for a man to admit that he's got some issues is a great giant step, because in one instance you're admitting that you're hurt. And where I grew up, I'm born and raised in the ghetto on the housing projects in Los Angeles Harbor. And one of the things is that men don't cry, men don't show weakness. But as I matured, it was okay for me to feel my feelings. So uncovering what was at the core issues of my, you know, dysfunction, and that was availing myself to a certain curriculum that started to become available. And as I developed into internalizing the curriculum to myself, I started to see that there was some events in my life that caused some wounds deep inside me. And how I covered those wounds up with was what I call a social mask. You know, and everything I've ever done, I've always thrived in it. So I thrived as a drug addict. I thrived as a drug dealer. I thrived as a criminal. And so coming into the prison system, that's what I was surrounded with.
Tell us the process of getting a parole date.
And so I adapted and I thrived in that. But like I said, there was a time where I made a choice to better myself, and I started availing myself to the opportunities that were presented, and I achieved some goals. Like I said, you know, certified this, certified that, you know, got my degree, and I continued to pursue getting a parole date. I was seeing the parole board for 10 years, and all my hearings were 5 hours plus. And it was a continuous going over my rap sheet, going over my criminal activities. And one thing that I'd like to say is that, you know, I was a stone cold street drug addict criminal. And when I came into prison, I became a stone cold prison drug addict criminal. That's depths that people can't imagine. Because in the world of prison, it's so deeper than you could ever imagine. You have to live there to understand. But through that, I found myself in pursuing self-development. So I continued to pursue this higher education because, you know, what was weird is that I was an A student.
Tell us about when you were younger.
When I hit junior high, I went from straight A's to straight F's because I found myself attaching to the destructive behavior of people. And so I've always had the potential. And unfortunately, it was prison where I found that. And achieving these little goals, you know, it was good for me because I knew I had that in me. That doesn't take away from what I've done. And there's no way I can ever recompense what happened. But here I am today. out of a life sentence, serving 30 straight years, where I earned that degree inside prison that allowed me to go into the university as a junior. And my first semester in the university was at Fresno State. And that's where I first experienced a university level education. And at my last hearing, parole hearing, I was given a parole day. And that changed my life, because now it was a good possibility that I was going to get out. And for someone in that situation, it's a tremendous experience, because if you strive to reach that opportunity and it happens, it does something to you, because, you know, all I known was incarceration for 30 years. And now, given the opportunity that there was a very good chance that I was getting out. And I did.
How long have you been out?
I've been out for, I've been out of prison for 15 months now.
Where did you go after being released?
When I came out, I was picked up by a nonprofit organization that I was a part of while I was inside, and part of their grant was, you know, they'll come and pick you up. So they came and picked me up when I got paroled, and I started immediately working for them as an intern. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I got my driver's license, I became the organization's driver, and as well as a youth mentor counselor, and I also made it to being the youth program coordinator with them. And I found employment out here where I still work at. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to say that, you know, as I transitioned into society, you know, I also still with my education. I'm a student at Sac State University, where I'm a sociology major. And I'm doing well in that. And reentering society, you know, it's very, very strange, because I was gone for 30 years, and the world has moved so fast that everything is basically in the palm of your hand if you have one of them smartphones. So I went through a culture shock, but yet, being the person that I am, I adapted, and here I sit, you know, 15 months out of prison. You know, I'm a full-time student at Sacramento State University, and now I have two full-time jobs. You know, I work at this one place, I won't say the name, but I also work at this other place where I'm a transitional program house manager, and I'm doing very well, and it's possible that you can and you will achieve if you stick to it.
Right.
You know, coming out of a drug addict criminal background is something. And when you're out here in the free world, there's so much freedom that you have to be very disciplined and goal oriented to stay on that track. For me, is that I never want to give up this opportunity, because through that process of incarceration, I was helped by so many people. And all I could tell you this is, I remember the day that I was paroling. I happened to cross paths with one of the educators in there. And I told her, I said, "Hey, Miss So-and-so, I said, I'm leaving." Mm-hmm. And she was so happy. She stopped and she goes, "I seen you develop into the man you become." She goes, "Go out there and make us proud." And that meant something to me, man, because having somebody to believe in me while I was inside meant so much to me. And You know, I carry that with me, man, because there were so many people in this process that helped me along the way. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't take all the credit. You know, because as you know, man, it takes a lot of ingredients to create something. And so I'm very grateful and thankful for everybody that extended the opportunity, who enabled me to achieve what I was going for. There's so much out here in the free world that it's nearly, I would like to say that it's impossible, but at the same time, it's possible for people to fail. And that just comes down to who you are and where you put yourself. You know, I left prison making 18 cents an hour. I'm not going to tell you how much I make today, but believe me, it's way more than that. And I'm grateful, man, because I know where I came from.
Right.
And I strive to continue that and to set an example that change is possible. And not only that, it's achievable. And it can be sustained by continuing making the right choices and right decisions. It's something that I have to make daily.
Right.
And I available myself to people that are still in the struggle. You know, part of the industry that I'm in is that, you know, I help those who are formerly incarcerated, as well as I do some in-reach with an organization where we go back into the prison systems and do workshop presentations. Mm-hmm. And one thing that a lot that's going on is for a person who ends up in the prison system, they suffered a lot of trauma in their life. And sometimes, unbeknownst to them, that trauma steered their decision-making. And so once we can get to the core issue of the trauma events that happened in their life and made these impressions on them, you know, the healing process can start. And I say that from experience, because if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be here today. The reentry that's going on, you know, I have to, you know, give props to those people in power that, you know, set these things in process. And this goes all the way back. And a few people that I'd like to mention is Senator Gloria Romero, mm-hmm. Senator Jackie Speier, who were very, very in the front of pushing rehabilitation in the corrections of California. And because of them and people that backed them up, we're here today where rehabilitation is available in the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation today. Education is a biggie in there now, and it's available to, you know, the prisoners that want to partake of that. And I could say from my own experience that higher education was key for my success. I'm continually following that, and I hope to get into my master's and see where that goes.
Sounds good. Thank you.
No, thank you, Prof.
You're welcome.
I'd like to say thank you to our esteemed guests, Dr. Emma Hughes from CSU Fresno, as well as Dr. Patricia Morris from Sacramento State's Project Rebound and Sociology Department. Special thanks also to my audio engineer and editor, Javar Henry. Thank you for listening. We hope our ongoing conversations spark understandings, empathies, and motivation to join the struggle for a better future for all. On behalf of my colleagues at the Center on Race, Immigration, and Social Justice, I'm Dr. Marie Malari with Moon Martinez, thanking you for tuning in. You just listened to the Building Justice podcast. The information contained in this podcast represents the views and opinions of the hosts and guests and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Sacramento State or Chris J.
All the penalties and the rewards based on the actions. Now, time for building justice. Building justice. Time for